Blog Talk Radio. This is the Healing Light Show with your host, Ken Burrow. Stay with us as we bring honor and glory to Jesus, our Savior, Deliverer, and Healer.
Welcome to the Healing Light Show here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Ken Burrow. So glad that you could join us today. Today we have a special guest, Apostle Todd Williams. He's an author, a speaker, an entrepreneur, father, husband, overseer of Household of Faith known as Beyond Church. He's been in the ministry for over 26 years and 18 years of pastoring. Been married for 23 years, which this day and age is quite a successful achievement in its own. So let me introduce to you our guest, Apostle Todd Williams. Good morning, Apostle.
Hey, good morning, Ken. Glad to be here, and thank you for having me this morning.
Well, we appreciate you being our guest this morning. So the topic this morning is successful living. What do you mean by that?
Ken, I believe that every person that is in Christ and born again, that I believe we have a promise from God that we can have a successful life in the capacity of living an abundant life. And I believe also that God wants us to be blessed. And I believe he also wants us to succeed in his will for us. So this has been something that has been my pursuit for many years. And I can say after following Christ now for 26 plus years that I have a greater understanding of that than ever, and thankful to God through His Word to understand what He means to us in that.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, I've been serving Jesus for a little over 35 years, and I haven't seen a lot of financial success in my life, but I have had a lot of success in with my family. I mean, I've been married for over 35 years and still head over heels in love with that little girl, and I consider that a success. What can Christians do to maybe find success in the on the financial side of things?
Okay. Well, you know, my first place that I, of course, always point people to, Ken, is God's Word. And, you know, the Scripture, you know, the Scriptures don't talk a lot in the term success. There's only one reference to the word success in the whole Bible, and it's in the first chapter of the book of Joshua. And God makes a promise to Joshua that he will both make his way prosperous and that he will have good success. But God tells him something before he makes that promise, that his word is to be his meditation, and it's not to depart out of his mouth, and something that he's supposed to do day and night. So for me financially, I have learned to use the Bible as a manual for financial success, and as well as financial prosperity. I believe there's over 2,200 scriptures at last count that deal with money in the Bible. Mm-hmm. And there's a solution for any type of problem that we may be encountering. And, you know, if I look at the Bible in this way, if I'm going to trust this word for my eternal salvation, then I'm going to have to trust this word for decisions that I make while I'm still on the earth.
Makes sense. I used to use Proverbs. I used to be a sales manager, sales teacher, and I would use Proverbs a lot to teach people on how to sell things and how to do it correctly and do it right, you know, by treating people like you want to be treated yourself. That's the number one rule. So I saw a lot of my people get successful following, you know, the wisdom of Proverbs. What can we do? I'm trying to figure out a question that, I mean, word this question. For instance, I'm retired on a fixed income. Is there anything I can do, biblically, of course, to, you know, maybe say the prayer of Jabez and increase my territory? What can I do that?
Oh, yeah. You know, Ken, I think the possibilities and potential for things now are really limitless with the age of the internet and the ability to transcend borders, locations, and the ability to communicate with people worldwide now, basically in an instant. You know, so much commerce and business now being done online, you know, you're really not limited by age, physical ability. You know, with, in a world now where you don't even have to have a storefront, you know, like Amazon, you know, that they're now the largest retailer in the world and don't even have a storefront. You know, we have to begin to see the potential and opportunities that lay before us to do things. You know, and a lot of this, you know, and I hear what you're saying in that.
Uh-huh.
You know, with because there are so many retirees. You know, this is when you can become creative. And I believe that God gives us an imagination for the purpose of being creative. And, you know, I tell all of my entrepreneurs, I have a weekly entrepreneur meeting on Tuesdays. You know, I really encourage them to use their imagination and their creativity to birth new ideas. You know, to see things where no one else is seeing an opportunity and capitalize on that. It's a limitless world that we seem to live in now due to the internet and commerce. So, you know, if somebody out there is listening and they may be, you know, retired and out of the workforce, there are, you know, ways to sell things through the internet, creating online stores, and just take, or even taking what they know. You know, I know a lot of people now that are doing life coaching, you know, marital counseling, you know, with the world of Skype and Zoom and, you know, all these ways to communicate. Oh. So many ways now.
Sorry about that. I dropped my headphones and had to bend over and pick them up. At my age, it takes a little more time than it used to. But I got them back, by George. Well, there are plenty of opportunities out there today, that's for sure. I mean, even though we're going through this coronavirus lockdown, I see a lot of jobs popping up on, you know, up on my, in my email and so on. I personally haven't come up with, you know, with a great imagination to come up with something to do on the internet. I've spent a lot of time thinking about it, but I haven't gone forward with it yet. So I'm probably not the best entrepreneur, but, but of course I desire to be able to have some expendable income in my life, and I don't have that at this point, but, you know, with God, all things are possible, right?
Oh, yes, sir. Yeah, you know, and I've found that many things, you know, if we simply allow God to take what we already know and let Him open up doors of opportunity for us, and I have several streams of income, and that's one of the things that I've strived to create in my life, is not to have one sole stream of income. And that's one of the things within my household of faith and the entrepreneurs that I teach and train, is to create for themselves multiple streams of income. You know, just for an example, one of the things that my wife and I do here, and it's a seasonal income for us. You know, we have some extra land and we farm blueberries, you know, and it creates an additional stream of income for us. But it's, like I said, it's a seasonal thing. It's late June to August. So, you know, during those couple of months during the summer, you know, that's something that we focus on, and, you know, we have a roadside stand and we sell blueberries, you know, and with that, it's given us a lot of opportunities to meet people we have never met and make relationships with people. So it's just it's interesting how God will take something as simple as, you know, just if you have extra land, you know, look at it and say, you know, God, how can this, you know, generate an additional income? And that's one of the things that we've done to do that as well.
Yeah. My wife every year plants herself a garden, and I wish she'd be a little more successful at it, but we do have extra land. I could probably sell some blueberries. I know I like those little antioxidants. What can you tell, let's say, the average listener you know, who doesn't have a lot of experience in e-commerce, who doesn't have a lot of experience in trying to set up multiple streams of income, which is actually the key to success, is multiple streams of income. I had a dream 30 some odd years ago where, I believe it was a God dream, but it was this big fountain just overflowing gold liquid out of it. And on the top of that was another fountain overflowing. And, you know, like those chocolate fountains you see at those restaurants out there, it looked kind of like that. But it also had all these cups around the bottom, and each cup was being filled up. And I took that as meaning, you know, you have to create multi-streams of income. Mm-hmm. I haven't done it yet, but that's what I took it for. Because I do know that real success is you can't do it on your own. You have to bring a lot of good people with you. And the key is multiple streams of income, because the more streams you've got, the more you got. That's just plain logic to me, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I fully agree with you. Yeah, it's not simply just having the avenues to create those paths or streams of income, but also having the right people in your life.
Yes.
And having right voices. So that's one thing that, as well, you know, and I was saying that I have a weekly entrepreneur meeting, and that's one of the things that I talk with them about is having right voices in your life, and people that not that are just cheering you on, but people that can help steer you. And I've had a lot of various mentors in my life, and I'm very choosy, I'll say, to whom I listen to.
Right.
Because, you know, one wrong voice, my spiritual father says a right voice leads to a right choice. And, you know, that's one reason I was stressing the point from Joshua, you know, that God said that you needed to be in his word day and night, and for it to be in your mouth. And I determine everything through that filter of God's word, you know, because your life is just a sum of the decisions that we make. And, you know, one wrong decision can lead you into financial ruin. You know, I've made bad financial choices and had to learn the hard way, which was painful.
Yes, sir.
And I don't like pain being my teacher. I'm much more willing to listen than to have to experience pain. So, yeah, you know, there's a lot of people, I'm sure, that are listening to this that may not be well acquainted with e-commerce. You know, even something as simple as Facebook, I see people that are, you know, selling just items through Facebook now. You know, Facebook has Facebook Marketplace.
Right.
You know, I see people, you know, I've seen people that, you know, have done flea markets and things like this. They're now selling through Facebook Marketplace because they've got a broader audience now.
Right.
So, you know, there's so many simplified ways to do things now. That's just a great avenue for people now through social media as well.
Now, you say you have a group of entrepreneurs. Now, is that a closed group, or can other people join in and learn from you, or how's that work?
Yes, sir. It's an open public group.
Oh, cool.
Prior to recent events, you know, we were meeting weekly at a restaurant, which we can't do at this time, but
right.
We are still meeting in one of gentlemen's business that attends. He said, you know, y'all, since the restaurants are closed, we just come over here and meet at my my business. You know, they haven't closed out business. They haven't caused the businesses to close runner yet. And his is an essential business as well. So, you know, we are still able to meet and dialogue through that. Yeah, it's open, Ken. You know, and this isn't something that my wife and I, we don't charge people for this. We simply want to enhance the business community. We feel like that this is an arena that the church has yet to tap and be a benefit to people. You know, there's so many things that I understand the struggles of many entrepreneurs, and I believe a lot of pastors and people in ministry can understand that. You know, we may not sell a product within the church, but anyone that's running a nonprofit organization has to understand, you know, leadership skills. And you know, I give you an example of that. One of the gentlemen that attends, you know, he said to me, you know, Todd, you just don't understand. You know, I've got three people in this town that do the same thing that I do, you know, and, you know, how can I set myself apart? I said, well, you know, you've got to find your difference. I said, if you think that three competitors is a lot, I have 300 people that do the same thing that I do here. you know, you just mm-hmm. think about. And I'm not saying that churches are in competition with one another, but I said, you know, I have 300 people that do the same thing that I do, and I don't have a product. I can't put things on sale. You know, so, you know, if you think that you have a problem, then you should see it from my perspective. You know, you have to discover what is your difference, and that's what you have to zero in on. And not worry about what the other guy is doing. You have to discover your difference. And that's okay. That's what I encourage them to do. You know, because in the business world, it doesn't matter whether you're selling tires or you're selling ice cream. There's somebody else that's doing it. But you have to discover what you do differently, and that's what you have to focus on.
What do you tell your entrepreneurs that would be key to not only help them grow their business, but to be able to help them expand? I mean, I spent a lot of years, I always believe great customer service is a real key in the success of any business. How do you teach people to do that using e-commerce?
You know, one of the things that I find, Ken, and I know this may not sound like a direct answer, but one of the primary things that I tell most of the entrepreneurs is foundational to any business is simply knowing the money. I find that so many business people, they do not have their mind wrapped around the money in their business. Many of them do not know what's going out, and some of them don't even know what's coming in. You know, I believe it's the CIA or the FBI. They used to always say, you know, follow the money.
Yeah.
You know, you have to get your mind wrapped around the money of your organization or business and follow the money. What, you know, why did someone do business with you in the first place? And one of the things that I tell them in this is you're not in the business of selling products. You are in the business of repeat customers.
Okay.
You know, why did someone first choose to do business with you and spend their money with you, and more importantly, why would that person return and do business with you again? Yeah, because that's ultimately what anyone in business is after, is a repeat customer. And the customer's experience with you. What kind of experience were you? What kind of experience did you create for that person? You know, many times people will not remember, they may not remember exactly what they bought or even what you said, but they will remember how they were treated.
Right. So absolutely.
Yeah, customer service is absolute key. You know, you, as the old saying, you never get a second chance to make a first impression. This is true. You know, once something is formed in someone's mind about you and your business, your church, your organization, you know, there may be someone running a nonprofit. You know, you never get that second chance to make the first impression. And that's a lasting impression that's very hard to correct if something went wrong. So having the right employees, having them well trained, you know, people skills, you know, is one of the things, and I will say it this way, and most people agree with me, you know, because I always tell them, you know, go to Chick-fil-A. You know, here's a restaurant that only opens 6 days a week, and their sales are, you know,
incredible,
comparable with the restaurants that are running 7 days a week. And notice their difference. You know, everybody can offer a chicken sandwich, but not everybody offers service the way that Chick-fil-A does. Their employees are well trained most of the time with customer interaction, and it makes a complete difference in your experience there.
Yes. Well, I have to agree. Customer service, the way you treat others is how you get repeat business. I mean, my first job in my life, I was a ice cream peddler. I think I was 10, 11 years old when I started selling ice cream. And I kept that job up until I was 16 or so. And but I always treated my customers like they were the most important person in the world. Because when they're standing in front of you, they are the most important person in the world to your business at that point in time. Does that make sense?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
And over the years, as I, you know, as I grew older, you know, I was in management positions in retail, and that I used to tell all my employees, you know, treat that person like they're the most important person in the world. Treat them like if the president of the United States just walked in. Treat them like that. And there was one job I had. I used to run when I was doing it. I said, I'm going to be right back. And I would run and go do what I had to do and come and run right back. And I know people, you know, that's a small thing. But when people see you're going the extra mile to make them happy, that's how you end up with return customers, I believe. What do you think?
Yeah, customer service is very important as well, you know, as product. If you're selling a product, some industries are basically a service industry. I have guys that are in like heating and air businesses, you know, those type of businesses, you know. A lot of customers within that business there, they may not be as well versed in the product. You know, they may not know a Carrier HVA system from a train. I mean, you know, they don't know the product, but what they do know is the service. And
right,
you know, people that are willing to go the extra mile, and people want not only a quality product, they want quality service. So that is something that has to be developed within a business model. You know, and that's an area, you know, most people, and this is why I've really tapped into this, Ken, most most people within that are business owners, small business owners, you know, there's not really a college education that you can get on being a small business owner. A lot of it's trial and error, and they don't have a lot of assistance along the way. I've found that most business owners or CEOs, they're flying solo, and it's a very lonely world when you don't have anyone to talk to about those things. And many of them are Christian business leaders, and they don't feel that they have anybody to turn to when they're having problems or, you know, that they're encountering something new. You know, and sometimes somebody just needs a listening ear, and sometimes they need a coaching voice to help them through that. You know, I don't think success is rarely found alone. So that's my model for training, is you don't have to do this alone. There are people that can be a counsel to you and an assistance to you.
Well, my wife has her own business. She's been at it for about 4, going on 5 years now. But she's a consultant. She helps. She writes grants. She works for the city of Decatur, Alabama, as a consultant. And there have been times that things have been very, very well. And then there's times where things aren't going too well. How do you encourage somebody who's going through that roller coaster of the ups and downs of being in business for themselves?
Oh yeah. Yeah. This is about a weekly question that I get. you know, everything seems to be in cycles. And you know, most of the business owners that I know business owners right now that their business is booming, even though, you know, it seems to be an economic downturn. And then at the same time, they've got other ones that they can't even open the doors. You know, we have to create in whether you're running a church, a business organization, we have to create a certain steadiness to us. You know, when we are in the midst of a booming time, you know, you always have got to have the future in mind, that most things are cyclical, and you know, it's just like summer, winter, fall. It's like the seasons of the year. You know, the Bible tells us, you know, the ants, they store up for the winter. So when there is a financial time that seems to be prosperous, you know, you have to keep in the back of your mind that things may not always persist this way, and I need to prepare for that. Two, you know, if it's a downturn time, take this time to sharpen your skills. You know, if you don't have a tremendous amount of work, work on yourself, work on your thinking, work on, you know, like I said earlier, imagination, creativity. How can I improve this? How can I improve customer relations? You know, training employees, you know, always being productive, no matter what, you know, the sales or the bottom line is, you know, because one thing we don't want to equate success to completely is the bottom line in dollars. You know, we've seen time and time again, the amount of money coming into a business does not equate success if it's not managed properly.
So that makes sense.
Yeah, you can have a multi-billion-dollar company, but if you're spending more than you're taking in, you know, problems will arise. That's why we have to always know the money. So yeah, that's my advice. Learn how to ride the waves. It's like surfing.
Well, you know, I don't believe that our schools have taught our children how to handle money. I don't believe they have taught them how to be good at business. There's a lot of people out there that I've run into. I say they have a poverty mentality. They don't know how to handle the money that's coming in now. So what would you say to these people who don't have any idea on how to get out of poverty, how to get out, how to be successful in their own ventures without being, for lack of a better term, stupid about what they're doing?
Yeah, I completely hear you in this, Ken, and I agree. Our education system, it does not teach anything concerning the principles of money. You can graduate with, not only a four-year business degree, but a master degree in finance and business, and still really not have a financial education.
Yes.
So, your financial education is something that you're going to have to take into your own hands, and this is not something that you can expect anyone to do for you. You know, I teach my own children, the people of my household of faith, entrepreneurs, that your financial education is your responsibility. You're going to have to learn to be a reader. You know, I have guys that run their businesses, and they tell me, I don't like to read. I don't have time to read. And I tell them this, I don't like to read. I write books, and I still don't like to read, but I like to learn. I love to learn. And, you know, you're going to have to love learning, because I believe that the absence of a personal education will lead to poverty. You don't know, my spiritual father says it this way, you don't know what you don't know. And someone always knows what you don't know. You know, the only difference in people is what they know. The difference between the guy that's struggling to pay his bills every week and the guy that's a multimillionaire, there's no difference between these two people other than what they know. You have to begin to take that financial responsibility for your own education into your hands and pursue it. You know, this is something that I set out many, many years ago. I can remember that the Lord began speaking to me in this arena of finance, and I had no idea what he was talking about. I realized I was completely ignorant, and I set out on a course to educate myself financially. So I began every morning, 4:30, 5 a.m., I was up, and I would watch CNBC before I went to work. And I would see all these stock tickers going, and I had no clue what any of this stuff was. But I just stuck in there with it every day until I learned stocks, I learned bonds, Forex market, commodities. I still are involved in those things every day now. I can talk those things with financial advisors, readily. This wasn't something that I particularly took classes in. I took it into my own hands, and now I am able to teach others if they're willing to listen. I read books. I read Robert Kiyosaki and Donald Trump's books years ago. I mean, investing books. I'm thinking of so many different ones because I just simply wanted to know.
Yeah. Robert who?
Robert Kiyosaki. He wrote a book.
Rich Dad, Poor Dad?
Yeah, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Yeah, I've read, okay. I read that one years ago. Yeah, I've read many, many books on finances. I have an extensive library. I was just throwing out some common names that I'm sure most people have probably heard. And that's a great book for people to start with, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, because he really reveals to to you in that book that his own natural father really didn't have any financial education, but his best friend's dad was financially educated and taught him what he knows about finances, really became a mentor to him. And that's a key thing as well, as finding someone who can mentor you in things that you don't know. A mentor will save you a lot of time.
Amen.
I've learned this. Why should I spend 15 years trying to figure something out that somebody can tell me in 15 minutes? So find someone that you can ask questions and that's willing to answer those questions for you. And if you don't get the answer you're looking for, then, you know, you have to continue to search for somebody that has that answer. Because somebody has that answer. I believe that most any answer that we're looking for, God has already put it in somebody else.
When I was a very young man, this was back in the 60s, I read a book called The Greatest Salesman in the World by Ogmandino. And that actually had a positive effect in the way that I was doing things in my own personal career, because I spent a lot of time over the years as a salesperson or a sales manager, sales teacher. But one thing I loved about that book is it was really biblically based. And I believe when you use biblical principles, a principle being an unchanging truth, that you'll find answers as you seek God for the direction that you want to go. Am I correct on that?
Oh, absolutely. You know, one of the things that I point out to people, Ken, is before Jesus led his disciples, he was a carpenter. And I'm sure he was a very successful carpenter. He had his own carpentry business. I'm sure he built many homes and possibly other establishments for people. You know, he was a man of character, a man of notoriety, and most people would have looked to him and said, you know, how would he be qualified to be a religious leader? You know, he had all the makings for that. Not only that he is the Son of God, but I'm sure that everything that Jesus did, he conducted it in integrity and with character. And of course, he being the Word of God, you know that he did it as the Word of God. So,
amen.
You know, he is the model businessman to me.
And he was the first network marketer too.
Absolutely. You know, if a carpenter can convince a fisherman to follow him, you know, he must have some great persuasive skills, you know, because I don't know many people that, most people that are fishermen, they love fishing, and for them to leave their boats and to go ashore, you know, what a man he must have been.
Most Amen. Guys are trying what to, a man he is.
Most guys that are fishermen, they're all trying to get to the lake or the river or the ocean to fish, and he told them, follow me. You won't be fishing for fish, you'll be fishing for men.
Which, that gives me a great segue to something I do in each and every show, and that is, we need to follow Jesus. And I'd like to give an opportunity to anybody, if you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, today is a day of salvation. You can look around the world and you know that we're in a season that's been unlike any throughout history. I believe Jesus Christ is coming soon. And I want you to know that I love you, and your eternal destiny is very, very important, not only to me, but to Jesus himself and to you. It's not a difficult thing to come to know Jesus. We were all born sinners, each and every one of us. We all fall short of the glory of God. But the Bible says that if we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died on that cross and he rose 3 days later, and if you confess to him that you're a sinner and ask him into your life, he will cleanse you of all that sin, and he will come into your life. And life for you, as you know it, will change. It is a supernatural event. Once he comes into your life, there is no doubt in your mind that he is real. So all you have to do is simply say, Jesus, if you're real, I submit to you. Come into my life. Prove to me that you are the Son of God. And you know what he'll do? He'll prove it to you. So take the time today and ask Jesus into your life. You'll find it has an eternal satisfaction, because with him, you have eternal life. Without him, you still have eternal life, but you won't be spending it in a place that you want to spend it. Hell is real, and so is heaven. So make a decision today. Today is the day of salvation. Ask Jesus into your life. All right, as you were saying, Apostle.
Yes, sir.
I always like to invite people to come to know Jesus. I do that each and every show. I didn't mean to get us off track, but actually I did mean to do that, because getting on track with Jesus is the first step to real success.
Amen.
So,
yes, sir.
Tell us more. Talk to me. You're our guest. I want to hear. I know what I know, but I want to hear what you know, because apparently you know more than I do concerning these things. So talk to me, Apostle. Tell us more.
Well, you know, Ken, one of the things that I'm grateful and thankful for is the leading of the Holy Spirit. You know, Romans 8 tells us that as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God.
Yes.
You know, many times we may be seeking for direction, looking for, you know, what is it, God, that you may want me to do? What is your will for my life? You know, there's been times that I have had, you know, simple promptings towards things, and then there have been times that I've been led into things, you know, in my own ignorance, and not even understanding what I was doing or where I was going, but simply trusting God. You know, we have to know, you know, and I refer back to the book of Joshua a lot with this. You know, one of the things that Joshua told the children of Israel, he said, we haven't been this way before. And any time that we are moving into a transition, you know, there are people right now that are facing a lot of transitions, companies mm-hmm. closing, you know, businesses being, you know, forced to shut their doors. I know that there's a lot of people, you know, I know the statistics, approximately 60% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. And I told my wife,
yep.
When many of the current events that began to unfold, I said, you know, a lot of people are going to be experiencing a lot of pain in the next coming days, because many people are just not financially prepared for this. You know, all of us face transitions in life. And, you know, this is a time that may be uncertain, but this is also a time to see opportunity. You know, sometimes we're not prepared for changes. We're forced into changes. You know, many years ago, I faced a layoff with a company that I had been with for many, many years. And our company had been bought, and we were forced out of a job. That time seemed like a very uncertain time. You know, most of the people that I worked with had been in that company 20, 30 years, and they were no longer going to have a employment, and they become very concerned and fearful about how they were going to pay their house payment, how they were going to pay their bills. I had a great peace and a great calm because I trust God that no matter what is going on, no matter what the situation, He is my Heavenly Father, and He is going to provide. He is my provision. It's not my job. It's not my income. It's not my paycheck. You know, Jesus assures us of these things in Matthew 6 and 7, Matthew 6, chapter 6 and chapter 7. You know, He says, consider the lilies of the field. Consider the birds of the air.
That's right.
You know, we have to ultimately trust God no matter what we're facing. And, you know, right decisions are key during times like this. And a right decision is always based on having the right voice and having the right perspective. You know, one of the things that Joshua is facing is he's already seen the promised land. He saw it 40 years prior. You know, he was sent in as a spy, and you know he wanted to take it then. And now he's given a second opportunity with this. His mentor, Moses, is gone, and God is now telling him, you're going to lead the people in. You know, I would encourage many people during this time, use this opportunity. Use this opportunity as an opportunity to sharpen your personal skills. I believe that some of the greatest opportunities that will ever present themselves are on the horizon. We may see the situation that is currently going on as bad, and it looked bad in many respects. If you had your eyes totally on the stock market, it would look just bad. You know?
Yeah.
But you know, where one man sees a time to sell, another man sees a time to buy. The opportunities are presenting themselves. It's all determined about your perspective. How do you see it? You know, I believe this is a time for us to enter into not only life, but life more abundantly. Many people are fearful, Ken. They're struggling right now. But this is the time when you've got to harness your faith. You know, grab hold of your faith, grab hold of the Word of God, and you know, God, my spiritual father says it in this way, and it kind of threw me for a loop the first time I ever heard it. He said that God doesn't answer need; He answers faith.
Amen. And that's true. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Ken.
I was just going to say, you know, that's so very true. Faith is the key. Over the years, I have been on, up and down roller coaster. There have been times I have seen financial situations, I call them mountains, that I could not in my own mind, my own physical being, understand how God would remove that mountain. But I can honestly say He's removed every mountain I've ever faced. He's removed it. There was back in 2011, we had a real bad situation, my wife and I did. And we tried to do the steps to get help and all that. And we ended up making some mistakes. We went to the wrong building for help. We went, all kinds of things. And I was supposed to go to New Orleans. And I looked at my wife. I said, God is going to work this out. He will remove that mountain. I'm going to go ahead and go to New Orleans and preach because that's what I'm supposed to do. And while I was on my way to New Orleans, God removed the mountain and everything came together. That's faith. You have, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. Literally, that says faith is blind. We just have to trust God and He will provide the answers. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, we've got to move by faith, not by sight.
That's right.
Exactly. If I'm moved by what I see right now, I would be paralyzed with fear. But praise God, I'm moving by faith.
Well, the Bible tells us over 365 times, do not fear. That's one for every day. I've always said, if God tells you something once, pay attention. If he tells you twice, take heed. If he tells you 365 times, he must be trying to convey a message to us, which is, do not fear.
Exactly. Yeah, we've got to get a hold of those human emotions and live by faith and not by what we feel.
Yeah, that's very true. But faith is tangible. You know, it is substantial. I see it all the time. I mean, people are worried about this COVID-19, and I understand that worry. But I'm a Psalms 91 man, have been for many years, and God has shown me over and over and over and over and over that he keeps every promise that's written there. So I actually advise people these days, trust God. You know, I've prayed about it. Lord, what about this COVID-19 thing with me? And you know what he said? It's not going to come near you, just like it says in Psalms 91. It's not going to come near me. And I believe that. So I'm not that concerned about things. When you have God, the supernatural creator of all things, as your strong tower, you know, he will wrap his wings around you and he will protect you. Now, it's my own personal belief. Some people think I'm cray-cray, but I'm 66 years old and he's proven it to me over and over and over again. So I kind of stick with what he says. You know what I mean?
Amen. Yes, sir. Yeah, we have to have faith. Faith like the Son of God.
Go ahead, I'm sorry. Say that one more time.
We have to have faith like the Son of God.
Yes. You know, Bible also says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. I believe most of us want to please God, and that requires faith. Amen?
Yes. We've got to move by faith, Ken. Okay. Totally and completely,
hey,
no matter what we're doing.
This hour went by real fast. We only got a couple of minutes left. I want to thank you so very, very much for being our guest today. I may try to get you to do a similar show on YouTube. We'll talk about that later, but nonetheless, I want to thank you so very, very much for joining us today. And I pray that you might come back sometime and expound a little more on these principles that you are sharing with us today.
Amen. Thank you, Ken. It's my privilege, and it was my pleasure to be with you today.
Well, it was an honor to have you, Apostle. Only a minute left, but being an apostle, you must walk in signs, miracles, and wonders. Can you share a great miracle with us before we go?
Amen. Yes, sir. I believe that today that someone will receive a miracle. I believe that it will be a financial miracle. There's a lot of people that, you know, I don't believe that we were necessarily meant to live by miracles. We were meant to live by faith and live by principle, but we know that God is a God of miracles.
Yes.
Somebody today, there will be a financial miracle that will arrive in their life, and it will be unexpected. They will wonder, how did it get there? They won't even know how it arrived, but it will arrive, and it will be anonymous for somebody today.
I've got my hand risen. I'm receiving what you're saying, brother. Well, son, we got to go. God bless you. I do appreciate you. Folks, thanks for listening. Join us next Wednesday, same time, same channel, and we'll be here. God bless you. Be blessed and be a blessing.
You have been listening to the Healing Light Show with your host, Ken Burrow. Prayerfully consider supporting this ministry. To donate, go to the Healing Light Radio Show on Facebook, where you will find a link to donate. Thanks for listening. Be blessed and be a blessing.